We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Lefty Podcast. Happy Wednesday to everybody, man. It is Wednesday, right, Left?
Yep.
I think so. Man, look. Everybody, we started late because it's Sean's fault today, man. Sometimes I get my mind twisted. I'm thinking I send him the time to start time, knowing he's 2 hours behind, and I send him a time 1 hour behind. And I'm sitting up here waiting, like, where is this dude at? So it's my fault that we didn't start on time, but as always, YouTube, hit the button, the thumbs up, smash it for us. Make sure you subscribe, share all your comments. We respond to all audio edibles each and every day over at CFB Nation, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Home of the misguided passion, man. Forever committed to making sure that we spin it different. Petty Train should be fun today. I'll just leave it at that. Petty Train should be fun today. We're going to talk about Nick Saban and his comments and what he's had to say.
He finally told the truth. We all knew it. We all knew Saban.
And then, you know, we're going to talk about the Notre Dame offense with all of the hype about Marcus Freeman and what he's loved about the offense and the team in the first practice or so, and the workouts with Lauren Lando. We're going to get into the keys, the three keys to an explosive Notre Dame offense, especially versus good opponents, and then the three most important players and making sure that that happens.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Left, how you feeling, man? It seems like the days are longer, right? Because time jumped forward, so you get an extra hour of light.
Yeah, I think it's just I got to adjust to the shorter time, I guess, because I was on the back end of time, 3 hours behind. Now I'm 2 hours behind, so it's a little different.
Let me tell you something, man. I'm trying to be an ambassador of good for Chicago Bears fans left. We're going to get to Notre Dame in a second. I'm trying to be an ambassador.
It's looking worse and worse for them Bears fans.
I don't want to say that. You know, I'm trying to keep them sane, if you will. Because I would like to explain what took place this time over a year ago. This time over a year ago, the Bears were getting ready to, or had just traded, the number one overall pick to the Panthers for a great haul and DJ Moore. And they were celebrating the fact that Aaron Rodgers was no longer in the Packers, dude. I kid you not. Radio stations threw celebrations in Chicago. And see, this is when I thought, I said, this is super corny. Like, why in the world are you celebrating the fact that Aaron Rodgers is no longer in the Packers? And they were like, because the Packers are going to suck now. See, now the Packers are just like us.
Just like y'all? I don't know. Jordan Love looks to be the franchise right now.
You know why? The Packers are a good organization, Lev.
Yeah.
They're a good organization. Right? They traded for Brett Favre, developed him. People forget before they got Brett Favre, Brett Favre was behind a quarterback that was also a Pro Bowler and Magic Man, Don Majkowski, before he got injured. And that led to Brett Favre coming in.
Brett Favre.
Yes. Right. So the Packers have 20 plus years of proof that they can evaluate, draft, and develop the quarterback. They have proof. Bears? None. So now with only 5 draft picks, a GM that in free agency has signed not one chess piece. The Packers have gotten better. The Lions have gotten better. The Vikings have gotten better.
Chicago just let go of Darryl Mooney. They just gave him money. He went to Atlanta
in free agency.
They must be getting a receiver. You got to get a receiver. They got to get Marvin Harrison Jr. and Odunze. Back-to-back picks in the first round for Justin Fields.
So this is the biggest thing has not been, let me tell you, I say this to say, to bring it to Notre Dame. The most important thing, because we're going to talk about the offense, the most important thing that has happened are the signs that have been shown by the retention of coaches and the investment financially in what is to come as far as development, new facilities, and everything that's going on that seems like there is a full buy-in and investment to the Notre Dame football program that did not previously exist. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. We're going to talk about offense and play calling and reading from top down and changes that are made and recruiting and all of that. What Notre Dame is doing is what the Chicago Bears need to do. Because Caleb Williams isn't changing the fact that they're a bad organization. And he doesn't change that left. He doesn't change the fact that they have the worst head coach in their division. The worst.
You like Kevin O'Connell?
Yes.
You like him?
He, without Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins, he won the same amount of games as Matt Eberflus. think about that. He didn't have his number one receiver and his starting quarterback, franchise quarterback, and still won the same amount of games with Josh Dobbs, with Joshua Dobbs. Yes, I like Kevin O'Connell better than Matt Eberflus. Kevin O'Connell went to the playoffs his first year. Left. He lost to the Giants, but he went. You're darn right. Matt Eberflus is the worst coach in the division.
Yeah.
But people want to, oh, we got the number one pick. We're going to get Caleb Williams. To do what? To do what? To fight for a wild card? That's why I said, yo, people were celebrating the demise of the Packers. And I'm like, yeah, they're actually a good organization that knows how to run a football team. The Bears? So be encouraged, Notre Dame fans, because you could be feeling like Bears fans right now. You could. Let's get to it, Left. Offense, offense, offense. And we go back to what Marcus Freeman had to say when he talked about, yo, the transfer wide receivers and what they've meant early on.
What did you see from some of your transfer wideouts today?
They can run, right? And I think I saw more deep balls caught, you know, in this practice than I've seen in a long time. And so it was really good to see, right? And it's going to be great for both sides. The speed, the ability to throw the ball downfield is going to obviously be great for our offense, but it's going to be a great challenge for our DBs. And so, you know, I can't wait to see this competition as we go throughout the spring.
Left, give us your three keys, Left, your three keys to this Notre Dame offense turning it around and not only being consistent. They broke records last year.
But yeah,
But you knew that when they face a good defense or a good team, you weren't getting the same production.
And that's where the difference has to show. It has to show the difference in when we get into those big games, are we the same person and team we are against Pittsburgh, that we are against Purdue, that we are against these teams that we easily go out there and score 40, 50 points against. It's whenever we get into the big games, which where the narrative exists. When we get in big games, we get very small. I'm taking the under every time when it comes to Notre Dame in big games. The under. Because we go into this different mindset where we want to be super conservative or we want to play time of possessions or keep away. So the difference has to be in big games, we have to show up big. Offensively, this conservative running style and all of that, I think Denbrock is going to open that up and let us take a chance and err on the side of making big plays. Can we err on the side of trying to be a 400-yard passing team in a big game? How would that look like on Notre Dame? I don't think we've thrown over 250 yards in any big game we played. Where we've had a shootout, where we've looked like the comparable offense, we've always looked like David and Goliath. We're almost too religious on the football field. Because when it comes to big games, we always act like we David. Like we're throwing rocks when we really got all the weapons we need to do what we need to do in the big moments. So for us, that mindset or that way of thinking has to change. I think Marcus Freeman sees the importance of it. I know Denbrock knows the importance of it because he's able to use that offense as the unit to lead the team. LSU was an offensive-led team last year. So he knows that there's things that have to take place. So big plays have to be of importance. We're only talking about the games that matter because it's hard to evaluate where we stand because we play so different against teams we're supposed to beat. So for me, it's the consistency in big wins and showing up big. Showing up big is being able to get on the scoreboard early and often, like we do in all these other games. We need to stop taking the small man approach. The second thing is playmakers have to be allowed to be playmakers. And that comes from a coaching decision. Last year, the playmakers we needed in those big games, we went away from. That Aldrich Estime in the last drive against Ohio State, he needed to touch the ball every time.
Me and Niece were
don't take him off the field. So situational coaching has to be better in these big games. And then the last thing, help our defense. Take advantage of momentum from our defense. Our defense keeps us in every game. But the taking advantage of the momentum and like off of turnovers, scoring points off of momentous parts of the game is where it's going to come important for us, because we're all about changing narrative. Last year, the narrative changing game was Ohio State. And nothing outside of that game changed how the season went in our minds, because that was the game. This year, it's about the playoffs. So these games we're going through need to show dominance and consistency. If we can show dominance and consistency, getting to the playoffs will be where we need to be, because we will have the formula. We go into these big games with no formula. Playing consistently throughout the regular season, getting to the playoffs, I believe we'll have the formula. And the guys will have the confidence to execute that in big games. I don't want to look like we're overwhelmed every time we get into these big matchups, where it's like, why are we looking like the junior varsity team playing the varsity team? Well, we're the big dogs.
Right.
So that's going to change, in my opinion, with the confidence of Marcus Freeman, with Denbrock, and then whoever the quarterback is, being able to have that confidence. Steve Angeli, in my opinion, has done the right things, right? Done the right things to show, okay, we can give you the keys to the car. Don't crash it. And I think he's ready to do it.
As you talk about that, giving the keys to the car, the competition that Marcus Freeman talked about, and just to reiterate, he did pretty much say, look, we're not committed to anyone at this time. We're going to let these guys get equal reps. We're not worried about who's playing with who or making sure that the ones are with this quarterback and that quarterback. No. Like you said, they're interested in seeing the players that make plays.
Yes.
The players that make plays. We need to figure out who our playmakers are that are going to be able to make explosive plays in this offense consistently. And I love hearing that. But when you spread that out, is there difficulty in having a competition but trying to do some of the things you talked about, which is to establish the playmakers? You know, is that something that you can figure out in the spring, or does that spill over into the fall camp as well?
Well, with the situation we have with a transfer guy coming in with high expectations, you want to be able to clean it up before the fall camp comes. So you want to push that competition. You want to push and make guys uncomfortable in situations, because you got to get a read on who can perform when the lights come on. And I think in practice, it's a different mentality, because you're going through routine. You're going through different parts of the day where Marcus Freeman has to create challenges. Denbrock has to create challenges and situations to see when the bullets start flying, who can we rely on? Right now, everything is vanilla. Everybody's just working their reps, getting used to what was going on. So towards the end of spring, it needs to be evaluated on, let's just go by the sheet. I think one of the things we did at Florida that worked well was every day was graded. Every day we went into the QB room, we had the grades of the day, the percentages, what we did good, what we did bad. It gave us a realistic, quantifiable scale of who was really doing good each day. And I think keeping it simple like that, it helps the guys in the room saying, okay, this is where I need to be better. This is where I'm lacking. And through that, Denbrock can find the guy that he can be like, okay, we've seen the film, we've seen the plays, we've seen the percentages. How do we put that into making the team run the well the best? And I think having the guys that we have in the room is going to shake out. It always does. And I trust that Denbrock is going to lead us in the right way with that. So hopefully it's done before spring. But I think having it where it is, where you're giving guys opportunity, especially with the room we have, because we know CJ shelved, but Steve, Kenny, and Riley Leonard, I think are three great guys that can navigate the offense in different ways. And I think that we're asking of these three guys different things when they come into the position. But I think that also helps evolve Denbrock on, okay, what are we good at? What are we not good at? And that's what it's about in the spring. What are we good at? What are we not good at? And who can run it the best? Because fall camp, you got to hit the ground running. Because then it's about reps. Then it's about taking the ones with the ones and the twos with the twos. Because you got to get ready. Right now, we don't have a game tomorrow. So, yeah, it doesn't look like we need ones with ones, but fall camp needs to be like that. So this period during spring is the evaluation to get towards that.
And from a basketball standpoint, it's almost like an open gym.
Yeah. Open gym, yeah, it's right? Way different.
It's open gym, and you just have these different combinations of five on five. You get to sit back and see, yo, who's grown over the summer? Who's gotten better over the summer? And it kind of feels like that, you know, when you explain it and when Marcus Freeman talks about, look, we're not worried about who's ones and who are two. Look, it goes back to when he first got here. He said, look, I want 1A and 1B. I don't want ones, twos, 1A, 1B. One of the shockers for us, we expected Eli Raritan to be the first tight end out.
That's true.
And here comes Cooper Flanagan. Trying out with the first group. And I'm like, oh. Okay, so that goes to show you the mindset that was given when Denbrock came in. Like, there is no starting job.
Right.
Like, yo, you're going to have to prove to me that you can give me what I need in this offense to make it what we feel like. And then Mike Denbrock said it. We can be a top 10 offense off rip. Yeah.
Well, if you got a top 10 defense, you have a great chance of being a top 10 offense because you're going to have opportunities. Which goes back to saying, in these big games, we got to take advantage of the opportunities the defense gives us. We can't just take the opportunity to take more time off the clock. The defense gets turned over a bit more as soon as David Wise get a pick. Like in Clemson, those got to be points. That's where we change. That's where you come intimidating. Because now the other team is pressed on, we can't give up the ball. Like the Kansas City Chiefs. When they went against the Ravens, it wasn't that they were necessarily, well, they were playing well. Offensively, they were playing well. But from a Ravens position, it was, we have to be perfect to even be in the game. Mm. That pick down the middle, Lamar threw. Lamar knew right then, oh, it's over. Because it's only so many times you get to mess up against Pat Mahomes. So these turnovers are going to be very, very crucial. And that's how offensively we will have to carry ourselves as, okay, you go do your thing. Go down and score if you can. But if you turn it over, the game's going to be over before you know it. Because you're going to give us a ball short field, and you already know we touchdown. So those are the type of things we need to be responding to change that narrative and make our offense a lot better. Because we're used to saying, okay, we get the ball, we take our turn, we give you the ball, you take your turn. And then if you give it back to us, we'll give it right back to you. You know, for us, we need to be like basketball, make it, take it.
Mm.
We score, we get a quick three and out. Oh, we going again. It's not, we get in the end zone again. We're not looking to punt. You gave a short field. Oh, you go down, you get a field goal. Oh, we got turned into the seven next drive. So that's more the mentality we need to have, because right now we're not intimidating as an offense. Defenses come in there and say, okay, we just got to play good and see what our offense can do against their defense. So once we start putting the pressure on other teams' defense, I think we'll be in the right position.
You mentioned something left earlier. You used the word formula. And what it made me think about is, especially in college football, year to year, in order to win or be a contender, you have to have the answers, because every year has different – it's almost like the algebraic equation. And you have multiple variables in that equation.
Yeah,
and what are those variables going to be? Because they can change year to year. And as a coaching staff, you have to be able to find those variables that lead to possibly your team being a little bit different than the previous championship contender you had. And Notre Dame is in a place where they're trying to find that formula. And I think the Kansas City Chiefs have a formula. They have the answers. They have the answers. Even though it might not look like the previous Super Bowl champion, they have the answers to win in some way, form, or fashion. And that's what Marcus Freeman, that's why the buy-in from administration is important, because that's part of the formula. That's why Marcus Freeman having his staff is important. That's part of the formula. And so that's some of the things that we need to look at.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Absolutely. It's the formula that you put in the spring, in these training camps, in fall camp, and it's testing different variables. Is Chris Mitchell with Steve Angeli and Jadarian Price the right mix? Is Jeremiah Love, Riley Leonard, and a Bo Collins the right formula? These are the things you play with in spring. This is why you don't have a ones, twos early on right now, because you finding the formula, you finding the variables. What pieces make this thing run the best? You think about basketball. Darvin Ham's worst quality, which makes me so frustrated when I watch the Lakers, is that his formula for his substitutions and who he has play together are terrible. And it's crazy because the Lakers have great depth, but it's the combination of who he has on the floor at a particular time is the problem. If you put in Jared Vanderbilt, AD, and Austin Reeves together, and you throw LeBron in there, and they're going in a small lineup, it doesn't look good. You need to be able to put the matchups with matchups. And for us, we had bad rotation earlier. We put ourselves in a position where we only got one guy we feel like we can go to because it's a bad combination. It's a bad formula. So that's why Dembrock, saying that is open, he's trying to find which pieces connect with. Does Steve have a better connection with Chris Mitchell than Riley? Does Kenny have the better connection with a unit than the other guy? So those variables are going to change for Marcus Freeman. Him understanding that these variables are going to happen, he feels better about replacing variables instead of not having a true formula. Okay, I got A plus B equals C, but if I take A out and put E in there, I can still get the same answer, or I can get a better answer because now my variables have gotten better. I don't have to look behind me and think all I got is one guy, which I think was a way we thought for a long time. But with the recruiting being what it was and the confidence behind Marcus Freeman, we should be all right. Dembrock's going to figure out the formulas. Marcus Freeman, because of that, is going to be a better coach in coaching situations. He's going to know the team better. And I think that's what year three does for a coach, is that you know your guys because you recruited them from the bird. But also, you've had time to yourself to see, okay, I'm not going to let Ohio State happen again. I'm not going to let Oklahoma State happen again. I'm not ever going to let no Marshall happen. So he can only learn from that by going through it. But in year three, this is where you streamline the process. This is where you put the rubber to the road. Because now the schedule's set up to where you can take advantage of trying different things, but also be dominant in those same efforts. Because when it gets to the playoffs, there's no excuses for this season. So you got to be right. You got to be on point.
This right here, and we thank Brian, our guy, Brian J. Irish. He said, do you really think Riley is fighting for the number one position? I don't know. First of all, Marcus Freeman has never struck me as a person that gives you lip service. So when he says the competition is open, I think fully that Mike Denbrock has the competition open. Because he's not about to say, yo, there are no starting jobs for every other position. But then he wasn't the one that guaranteed Riley Leonard. He didn't do that. He didn't go recruit Riley Leonard. So he's stepping into a position where he's like, yo, all I know is the last starting quarterback to win is Steve Angeli. The quarterback that's been spoken about as the leader in all-season workouts by players is Steve Angeli. And during the first practice,
I know Denbrock was watching that film of the last, and he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We might do something with this. Let's not just think Riley and that's it. I'm looking at this film and I can't, like Marcus Freeman said, it's about the plays you see on film. Steve Angeli has proved you going 4-for-4 and cleanup time and a touchdown and operating well and calling things at the line. You can't deny that. You can't deny him on that. So that's why Denbrock's like, yeah, I get we paid $2 million for a guy. But that $2 million, I don't necessarily need to cash in when I got guys on the team that are doing well too. So I like that we're keeping it open to a point. But then every time you have to make that decision. And Marcus Freeman, this is another opportunity. Last year was easy. Oh, we going, Sam? We getting rid of mother two? It's good. This year you really got to decide. Because it can be a detriment by waiting too late. Don't wait too late because now you're going to confuse the team. You're going to confuse the locker room. You got guys and they feelings. You don't know what identity you're going with. But if you know your guy is Steve or your guy is Riley Leonard, your guy is Kenny, let it be known. Hell, have a team meeting. I always feel like it would be so much easier if we have a team meeting and Marcus Freeman walks in front of the team and say, hey, your leader, your quarterback, is this guy right here, and we're going to ride with him. That's what changes an offense because now you know the captain. Okay, I got to go through Steve to get to Geno to get to Marcus. That's the chain of command. If you say, oh, from Marcus to Geno to a quarterback room, nobody's going to know who to follow. So it'll be an honor if Marcus Freeman names that guy in front of the team. That way you know what you're getting. You're not surfacing all these feelings that you may have because you think you're better. This the way we rocking. The team's going to be behind you till the wheels fall off. And if it don't work, we can move on. But at least we're direct and we know what we're doing.
Can I play devil's advocate for a minute? Because you said something that I feel like is very interesting because it reminds me of the situation that you went through. It was clear that the team recognized you as the leader. It was clear. Coach Kelly decided to go in the opposite direction of what the team pretty much felt and expressed. We're talking about the players publicly saying Steve has been the guy.
Yeah, publicly. They say that.
Steve has been the guy. He's been the leader in workouts, right? So we get to a point where the team is like, hey, man, Steve is the leader.
Because you can fracture a team doing that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You can fracture a team that because now they're thinking, what are the coaches on? Like, what are y'all thinking? Nobody feels safe. if you picking guys to play that ain't ready and the team knows it or the team doesn't believe in the guy necessarily like they do the other guy, everybody starts thinking about themselves. Oh, am I safe? Because it doesn't feel like it's about playing the best. It feels about, oh, this is a political. And that's what everybody calls it the political part of the game. Because in football, the cream always rises to the top. It's the best part about football. You can't fake it. You're either good or you're not good. And if you're not good, it's only a matter of time before they can't play you anymore. And that's when it's too late. So it's better to identify who the team believes in the most because that's who's out there playing. Even if you want a guy to play that ain't quite ready, you can only do so much before it falls apart, before the answers don't come out the way they should. So it's important that you put on display who you have to fight for the position. Yeah. But through practices, through watching film, through listening to your team, it'll decide itself. And to Steve to have this confidence in the team be behind Steve, because when has the team ever been boasting Steve? Since he's been there, I've never remembered him highlighting a Steve Angeli as he's been on the roster. He was Sam Hartman's best friend. That's what I knew him as, Sam Hartman's homeboy. He probably got Sam coffee in the morning, you know, cleaned up his locker when he was gone doing interviews, making sure his cleats was right. That's what they was talking about Steve last year. Now, they're like, no, Steve got it. He's taking hold of the reins. And I think that's very special to not lose when you convolute it with this whole competition and oh, we got to play this guy because we're paying him. Let it shake out how it is, because that's the best way it can work.
And see, Bill Jefferson, we thank you for tapping in. He says they paid a lot of money for Riley Leonard. They did.
That's Marcus Freeman's fault, because we've been saying before, well, I've been saying, what is Riley doing that's much better than what Steve's shown? Because I was on support. I'm like, if Riley isn't guaranteeing us a championship, why not Steve? It didn't make sense to me. So, yeah, we paid a lot of money for Riley. That's our own fault. But we used to spending money. That's the thing about Notre Dame. They're going to spend the money. And if it don't work, they got more of it. Now, we spending money, in my opinion, a little frivolously. Because I don't know how much different Steve is from Riley. And Steve is free. I mean,
now, I'll say this, and you can take it from here. I'm just going off of what I saw. The most confident quarterback on day one was Steve Angeli.
Yeah.
Flat out. I don't care what anybody else is saying on that podcast. The most confident quarterback was Steve Angeli.
And what did we talk about last year? Steve's confidence is going to be the difference. That was the difference. You can't go into a situation wanting to force a guy to play. It just doesn't work like that. And I kept being adamant about it. Steve is not bad for what we have as a team. We don't need Superman. We don't need Cam Newton. We don't need Trevor Lawrence. What Steve's skill set is great for the great team that we have around him. So what is Riley doing? Because his confidence it's not going to be on the level of a Steve right now. So you have a guy that's at base camp, making his way up the mountain, and Steve already halfway up. That matters. And we're talking about the mountain of confidence at the Notre Dame position. His talent got him at base camp. His talent don't mean he's going to get to the top. Because everybody's talented.
Hey, the quarterback room, about time.
That's what I was telling our guy, Ken. I'm like, listen, Riley is a Fiat with a nice engine. He was amongst other Fiats. He just had a better engine. The Fiat with the V8 engine at Notre Dame ain't standing out. It's not standing out. We got Ferraris, Lamborghinis. We got the Lamborghini Urus. You know, that thing just dropped. That's at Notre Dame. So a Fiat with a nice engine, it looks cool, but it's not going to win the race. It's not going to win the race. We don't need him to win the race. We don't need the Fiat to come in first place. We just need the Fiat to hold the pack together. And then through that, then we'll be able to take the next step. So for a guy like Steve, who was in a position of confidence where he's in control, and the reason why he's confident, because he knows he's better than Riley. That's like, it don't take long. You get in that QB room, your confidence comes from looking around being like, okay, they can't mess with me. That's where Kenny comes from. What Kenny tell us last year? He said, yeah, guy's doing a lot of things, but I could throw that football. Kenny's like, I can throw that ball. Yeah, everybody's cool. You know, they all good. But yeah, I can throw that football. So I loved his answer. I love Kenny's answer when he had the interview with Cam Williams. Mm.
This past weekend.
Who's the most athletic in the room? He said, me. Who the fastest in the room? Me.
And see, that's what you have to love. Because the chat always is fantastic, right? And we're not here. This is not about debating who's better. There's only one person that was there.
It's only one person that was there.
That was me.
That's right.
And I don't know about everybody else. I don't have any reason or ties to put out a narrative. I'm telling you who the best quarterback and the most confident quarterback on that day was.
On that day.
I didn't pay. I didn't pay $1 million, $2 million for it to be this close.
I didn't pay
$1 million, $2 million for it to be this close.
It gotta be like this.
It needs to be like this. And can it end up being that way? I hope so.
For our pocket's sake, yes.
No, that's for our playoff chances. I hope so.
But if we're paying for this, it's a disservice. I might as well go with Steve. If it's this close, I'm going with Steve. That's what I was talking about last year. What is the difference? And I was telling Ken this. Riley's no different than Steve. Steve's just more confident and can throw it better because he knows the offense more. And he knows his guys better. So unless Riley is coming in there bona fide first pick of the draft, we already know we went in Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence situation. It's not. Riley's trying to earn a spot just like everybody else. We just paid him $2 million to come try. But I think Steve has taken all this in.
Right? No, people expected Steve to roll over.
He's taking all of it in.
That's what people expect. A certain amount of Notre Dame fans that were just happy about Riley Leonard expected Steve Angeli to just roll over. This dude is coming in. Steve is like, the hell with that? No,
and that's where he's finally taking that step. He's not a best friend of Riley anymore. Sam's not there no more. He's internalizes, oh, you're going to pay $2 million for a guy over me, and I'm 4-for-4 and winning bowl games? Oh, yeah, okay, I'm ready. That's going to drive Steve, in my opinion, to be the guy that leads us out against Texas A&M. Because those narratives are like the Jordan narratives. You say, what about my mama? Oh, yeah, I'm going to get 50. Finding anything is motivation. And finally, Steve's turned the corner on that. He ain't going into these interviews. Yeah, man, I was just lotioning the guys back earlier. And I'm excited to see where it goes from here. No. He's like, man, I'm going in there to run that thing. Marcus Freeman said, everybody's open. Everybody can start in this position. I'm looking to be the guy. Finally. So him turning that corner is the difference. And I think it's going to make the difference in the season, especially when it comes down to who's going to start.
It's a great position to be in, Notre Dame fans. At this point, I said it, flip a coin. Play either one. I don't care. The narrative doesn't change. Get to the playoffs, win a playoff game. Doesn't change. I don't care if it's Riley Leonard. I don't care if it's Steve Angeli. I don't care if it's Kenny Minchie. My expectation is the exact same.
That's right. So
my expectations are lower just a little bit. If CJ Carr is the starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's lowered just a little bit.
That's the only thing that will lower my expectations for this season. When was the last time you could say definitively you feel comfortable with 2-3 quarterbacks?
2014, Miev Deshaun.
Like Hunter H said, then why did they go get a transfer if Steve is ready? Wait, let me answer this.
Yeah, okay.
Because that comes across like that's a real deep question. No, it's the same reason they're recruiting Deuce Knight, same reason they recruited CJ Carr. Go get good quarterbacks when you have a chance. That's why. So you think Kenny Minchie sucks? That's why we went and got Riley Leonard. We got Riley Leonard, so let's stop recruiting Deuce Knight. No. Marcus Freeman has changed the mindset from let's load up on Drew Pines and Tyler Buckners to let's load up on actual talent in the quarterback room.
Yeah.
It's common sense. That's what Alabama does. That's what Georgia does. That's what top programs do. They actually load up, right? They load up, right?
That's right.
They load up, like Bill Jefferson said. Yo, they spent a lot of money on Riley Leonard. You know who else spent money on quarterbacks?
Alabama. All them schools, yeah.
They spent $1 million to get a quarterback in. Guess who started? Matt Jones. Guess who won the national championship in the Heisman? Matt Jones.
With Bryce sitting on a million.
See this, you know what good teams do? See, if you're fashionable left and you know how to rock fashion, you can shop at Old Navy, you can shop at Versace, you can shop at Polo. It doesn't matter where you shop, you know how to dress. See, Nick Saban has won with he's won with transfer quarterbacks like Coker. He's won with
running backs at quarterback like Blake Sims.
Blake Sims. He's won with Mac Jones.
He's won with different types, from a Tua to a Jalen Hurts.
He's got
Nick Elroy.
Thank you. He's put a
AJ McCarron.
He's put a true freshman in the national championship game and come from behind to win a national championship. See, that's top programs. That's what they do.
He put two true freshmen in to win the championship.
And absolutely.
Those two freshmen became a first round and a Heisman player.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, formula figured out at Alabama. Obviously, it's changed because now the money coming in, so Saban can't run the same way, which is why he stopped being a part of. But same thing for us. So I think we're in a great position on loading up on the QB talent, because now we even recruiting guys that are playing two positions that, hell, if everything goes to hell, we could throw a kid in there right now that's 6'4", 200 pounds, and he going to give us something. He don't have to be the perfect. He's going to give us something that's going to help this team win games. And that's what Marcus Freeman is about.
It is a program that has recognized, yo, we need to go get talent. And since Gino Gadulli has gotten here, we need to go get 6'3", 6'4" talent at the position, not 6'5", 6'10" talent at the position. You win.
You gotta match that old line now. You gotta match that 6'8" averaging old line.
Thank you. You win by getting talented players in the quarterback room. Notre Dame believes in the talent in their quarterback room. They didn't go get Riley Leonard because, oh, our quarterbacks suck. That's not why they went to get him.
That was the last year feeling, though.
Now, last year was totally different.
Marcus Freeman got to tell his quarterbacks, listen, we need to move.
But he was looking at Tyler Buckner and Drew Pine.
Yeah. Guys he didn't recruit. He ain't talking to nobody in that room now. He like, man, best man win. May the best man win. We done scoured the country to put the best talent in this room. We done went to Mississippi, to Michigan, to North Carolina. We done put all of it in this room. May the best man win. I ain't got to talk to y'all, say, on the side and be like, you might need to think about transferring. It ain't that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy transferred now, it's because he's a sore loser, and I understand that these days. He trying to go to the league. That's what it tells me. So I do think that the talent is finally where it should be to feel confident about winning these games. I'm sure a lot of fans looked at Notre Dame's quarterback room through the years and was like, man, I could go do that. You look at this quarterback room now, physically, you can't envision some of that stuff. Oh, I'm not 6'3", so I can't even start thinking about winning for Notre Dame. Oh, I ain't 5-star. I can't even start thinking about going to Notre Dame because that's all they taking, 5-star big dudes.
Yeah.
But now when you walking on that field and you meeting the team, you meeting grown men. Before it was like, oh, these are my office buddies. You got Malik, he's 6 foot, he's short. Oh, you got Drew Pine. I swear he was just a student yesterday. He was walk on. He looks like a walk on. Now we get intimidating guys coming in. Gino Gadulli bringing in the big guns. You see big 6'5 Deuce Knight walking around. You be like, man, are you in the NFL already? It's the perception.
So now you feel like when somebody wins the quarterback competition, you're like, okay, hey.
They deserve it. They earned it, and they're looking to be the best in the country.
Yes.
You're going to be top 5 in the country if you deserve and earn the spot to start at Notre Dame. That's what the talent room is providing, in my opinion.
If Riley Leonard comes out of this fray, I have more confidence in him than I had in Sam Hartman last year.
If he could come out of this situation, yes.
Regardless of what he does.
Sam Hartman was delivered to us on a silver platter. You, it's a buff. You get everything you want right here. That's all we get. Now You got to, you know, you really got to prove something if you want to be in that position, which proves to me that, oh, we're serious about being in New York. We're serious about having a draft picked in the first top two rounds. Because his room ain't easy. Geno's like, this ain't an easy room to get through. We got a guy that called up there that want to be up there. We got a guy that committed over the guy that we was recruiting in CJ. CJ knew Dante was in the running, but his competitiveness said, oh, I got to get there too. So that's two guys right there. That's like, okay, these guys are serious about getting this job. Deuce Knight, five-star. He's serious. And then you got a scorn lover in Steve Angeli that's got a lot to prove and a lot to lose. And then you bring in the hype man, Riley Leonard, for $2 million. You know, this is going to be interesting to see how it works.
Let me tell you something, Lev. It's like, have you ever went to a place that was known for something and you order it? And then there's something else that comes with it that becomes the star of the show. Mm. Like, yo, I came here for this, but these mashed potatoes are busting.
Yeah. You don't surprise.
I took my mother out Monday. Took her to this new Japanese steakhouse here. Ooh. In the area called Rosa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's absolutely fantastic. So I got the ribeye, right? One of the most tender pieces of meat I've ever had. Pause.
Oh, yeah. It was the
Wagyu. Don't take that the wrong way. Yes.
Yeah, that Wagyu. Yeah, that Wagyu.
But it was the seasoning, and it was tender. And it did, you know, they sliced it up into strips. The presentation, they placed it in a nice little aioli sauce.
With some garnishes on the side that you
know. Yeah. So I'm like looking at that. But what ended up still in the show was the seafood Brussels sprouts.
Really?
They put shaved fish on top of the Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
Now, the crazy thing is when they brought it to the table, left, my wife looks at it and says, what is that moving on your food? I never paid attention to it. Andreas, who was our server, shout out to Andreas, you did a fabulous job. I tipped him well, left. I tipped him well.
Oh, okay. Oh, he must have done a good job.
He went over in the beyond. I tipped him very well. When he sat it down, I didn't pay attention, but they shave fish on top of it. And what it does, the process of it melting, the fish goes back and forth like this on top of the Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
And it's like, yo, and my wife caught it. And when she called it, I had to call Andreas over to the table like, hey, yo, what's this? So when he explained it, I was like, bro, that's something you got to explain when you put this on the table, bro. You just can't put fish down on the table, move it back and forth on my food.
Yeah.
Like I'm supposed to know that's, you know, what it is. So we got a nice kick out of it, but it stole the show, bro. The presentation, the taste. I'm like, yo, I love this steak. And that is, you know, that's the Notre Dame quarterback room.
Yeah, like, I felt the same way about
the star, because of the situation, is Riley Leonard. But there are some people in that room that can steal the show now.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
There's some people in that room that can steal the show.
Upset that apple cart for sure.
And Notre Dame fans might not be used to that, but get used to it.
Yeah,
because Deuce Knight's gonna come up in that room next year. And we're gonna fall in love with Kenny.
And somebody's gonna have to figure it out. That's right.
But Deuce A. And then somebody in this talented 26 class is gonna get added to the room. And that is something as Notre Dame fans that we haven't been used to, that we're going to have to get used to. But it's a problem.
Yeah.
As Brian J. Iris said, that's a problem we want.
That's exactly it. We got this talent we got, and then a Deuce Knight is somehow starting over the talent we got in this room. You know you in good hands.
Man, next year.
CJ Carr somehow finds a way to start this year.
Yeah.
You know you in good hands. Because you know the guys ahead of these guys already are talented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if Marcus Freeman and Gino Gadulli sees something in these younger pups that they say, oh, we need to elevate you now because you cannot sit on this bench. Like we do, aka the running backs. But we talk about Jeremiah Love got to play. Jeremiah Love got to touch football. I don't care. We got Aldrick. He has to play. And what did Jeremiah Love do? He done bounced over Jabron. He done bounced over Jadarian. Has to play. And we got a running back full of talent. Running back room full of talent. So much so that Devin had to go play safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because them young boys in the room are need to play. They can't just sit on the bench.
Some young boys playing checkers. They double jumping cats. Yeah.
They jumping cats. So if we can get that in the quarterback room, I know we on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
I know we on the right path. If a Deuce Knight can jump the talent ahead of him right now, I know we on the right path. I know we're going to have a breakout star, a Heisman winner, a guy sitting in New York, a high draft pick. Because that talent's right in the room right now. Just like that running back. Jeremiah Love. Keeter Young, same situation. He's going to play.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's going to play.
Yeah. So, Ron Payne, hey, bruh.
And he got, then Jabron got talent. That's what we're saying. He got the talent. Yeah. I'm sure if Jabron went to Rutgers or any of these other schools, he'd probably be one or two. But when you get a guy like Jeremiah Love, it's like, dang. It ain't nothing even against you, Jabron. We just can't let this sit on it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
we can't let this sit. If we had two footballs, we'd give him out. But we can't let him just go without touching it.
No.
So that's what I want to see in the QB room.
And QB room, and I don't mind. Look, if I have to do this every year, I would love next year around this time to come on the podcast and apologize to another wide receiver. My fault for thinking you run a 4-4. I apologize.
That's right. My fault.
I'll sign up to do that every year. That's right. The one content creator for Notre Dame that apologizes for disrespecting a wide receiver in a wide receiver room. My bad.
That's right.
I said 4-4. You're 4-3. Sign me up. I'll do it every year. If that is the change coming to the Notre Dame wide receiver room and quarterback room, I'm here for it. Absolutely. Lucky Lefty podcast. Left, give me your three most important players to this change we're talking about.
Jeremiah Love. Chris Mitchell. Based off of your reports, because we need that receiver threat. We ain't had that receiver threat in a minute. And my third person,
whatever quarterback.
I can't even say the quarterback. I would like to see two receivers, Chris Mitchell and another receiver. I just can't put on who is going to be yet.
It could be Great House. I wouldn't put that pressure on one of the freshmen quite yet, even though both of the freshmen.
Ooh, but Michael Gilbert looked good. He looked good.
Michael Gilbert looked good, bro. Cam Williams
He was underrated coming in. But two receivers got to be the most important players on offense this year. I'm not going to put on the quarterback because, one, in two scenarios, you're dealing with a first-time starter, regardless of who it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to put that pressure on a first-time starter or a first-time leader of the season of this offense, whether it be Riley, whether it be Steve or Kenny. All of them are first year. They should take the role of an Ian Book. Just disperse the football. Let the other guys shine in your first year until you get ready to take that mantle. Even with Riley being talented, I don't want him to be the main ingredient on an offense. We talked about that earlier. We don't need that. We need the quarterback to do their job. First year, for anybody that's starting in that room, just do your job first. Ride the team to success. Next year, quarterback, that'll be most important. Quarterback got to be most important because now we need you to win games. Are we relying our whole season on you winning games in this regular season? No. Me and you can go in there and play and do something, win 7 games. And hell, we still a little bit out of shape. So I don't need the quarterback to be most important. I need the two receivers and that running back, the most important players on this offense, because they need to be having the most yards and the most impact. I need to see Chris Mitchell be up for a Biletnikoff. I need to see a Jeremiah be up for a Doak Walker. I need to see because guess what? Ohio State has two receivers that are ready to go at all times. Marvin Harrison, Julian Mbakwe, Chris Olave, and Garrett Wilson, two most players on offense because they're the point production. And then you throw in a Travion Henderson. Obviously, they had CJ the last year. Mm-hmm. But with Kyle McCord, they went 12 games because of the guys around him. That's what I would want. Kyle McCord had 1 year as a starter and left.
He didn't leave. He was kind of escorted out. But
but he won 12 games. Kyle McCord wasn't the best player on that offense. And he won 12 games. So that's just telling you that you can have a great team without the quarterback being the most important. And for this year in particular, let Marcus Freeman recruited talent be the most important players on offense. Let Denbrock let those boys shine. And that's gonna come with the trust. Steve's confidence is going to be able to operate that. We don't need Fiats with V8 engines. We got Lamborghinis and all type of stuff. So let those guys be who they want to be. And the quarterback, just be consistent. Just do your job. If we got to, like, you're not in a position where Sam was, where you got to go win some games. You got to go win that Clemson game. You got to go win that Ohio State game. You got to go win against USC. This year is like, man, just stay down the straight and narrow. Don't turn the ball over. Don't get crazy. Because if you don't turn it over, we're going to be straight. So I think we're still in the right place for that.
When we come back, Les, we'll hear from Nick Saban. And we'll also talk about the biggest obstacle for Notre Dame this year. The biggest obstacle for Notre Dame's offense this year. Forever committed to making sure we continue to spin it different. Lucky Lefty Podcast, man. We'll be right back.